For those who know me and know how well I play Pictionary, that's why Graham's drawing. Oh, no, you might. No, you win. You're good. Yeah, just go. We'll go back now. Can everyone see? Come this way. I know. Keep coming. And maybe we just go back a bit. Stop. All right. Can I? Is that? Can everyone see it? All right. I'm just going to move this. I need that over here. Okay. You might like to get a chair and just sit there because you won't be required all the time. Hang on. All right, just hang on. Okay, here we go. Right, so all good? Right. The title of my message this morning is called The Unseen Realm. The Unseen Realm. Yeah, I'll just give Graham his... Oh, okay, when he comes back. When he comes back, all right. I did copy his props here. We had a practice this morning and it didn't go well, just so you know. Okay, all right. Now, there's a scripture in John. Now, I don't know if you're going to be able to see the board up there now, but anyway, I'll be reading the scriptures. All right. First scripture, John 4:24 says, "For God is spirit, so those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth." Now, everyone here believes in God, yes? Good, good, that's good. Well, you know that the devil believes in God too? Good. Okay, now there's a lot of people that believe in God. Yet they find the idea of a spiritual realm or an unseen realm a bit mystical or scary because it's unseen. Yet God is spirit. So we can relax. And trust me, there is a spiritual realm, both a godly realm and a demonic realm. And our God is spirit, unseen. Okay, now I'm going to describe some things that happened to us along our journey in the spiritual realm. So first, okay, so this is a picture of you, yes. So about here. Okay, this is you. Yep. Okay. Right, so this is you, okay. All right. Now, when you got saved, your spirit became saved. No, your spirit's here in the heart, red heart. Okay, colour that in. So your spirit becomes saved, and that's salvation, which means we're born again into the kingdom of God, okay? And the great thing about salvation is we became out of darkness into light, from death to life. The Bible says that we are spirit, but we also have a soul and we live in a body. But when we come born again, it's our spirit that's born again and now lives with Christ or becomes alive in Christ. So you were on the way to eternal death, but because we're born again, we now inherit the kingdom of God. And so now giving your life to Christ means that you're on your way to that eternal life in heaven. Now the challenge is that when we become a Christian, we think, well, yep, we're good now, we're fine. Jesus is in my life, everything is going to be great. And, you know, I've heard that preached, everything's going to be great. But the truth is, things are still going to come against us. John tells us that, you know, there will be trouble in this world. But take heed because God has already overcome the world. And so the promise is that when we go through our trials that Jesus is going to be with us, okay? So I'd still rather be having this life when trials still come at us and knowing that God is with us through them, okay? But the thing is, your soul, which isn't your spirit, is still as messed up as it was before we became a Christian and prayed that prayer. And that's why we have to go on this journey of transformation. And that comes through the renewing of our mind. So here's a scripture in Romans. Not yet. Okay, Romans 12:2 says, "Don't copy the behaviour and the customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect." Other versions say, "Be transformed by the renewing of your mind." So we have to do that, because otherwise we're still very soulish. It's a whole new way of thinking now, and it takes a conscious effort to change the way we think so that it would line up to the way that God thinks, which is his word. Now, your soul is made up of your mind and your will and your emotions. Now, you might be married to a person who is quite emotional. Right, yep. You might be too. Or someone who is strong-willed. Anybody? Don't have to put your hand up there. A mind of their own. So we understand what it is to have a mind and a will and emotions. So that's our soul realm. And our soul realm, Blue, is... this is our soul realm. So our spirit's saved, but this can be as messed up before we gave our lives to Christ. And it can still play havoc with us. Okay, so our mind, our will, and our emotions. Now in 2 Corinthians, we learn here that Paul says, Corinthians 4:18, 2 Corinthians, it says, "So we fix our eyes on not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal." So can you just write up here the unseen realm? So what is the unseen realm? It's the fact that there are other things that you can't see. So how do you fix your eyes on things which are unseen? Well, this is sort of what it's saying here. It says, don't fix your eyes on what's seen, because that's temporary, okay? Everything you see here is temporary. The people sitting next to you, the building you're in, the cars you drive, it's all temporary. One day all this will be gone. So just think about all that for a moment. So we're not to worry about that. We're not to focus on that and keep our eyes on these things, because they're temporary. But what is unseen is eternal, and that's the spiritual realm. Now, don't let it mess up your head, because we're going to go as we go. I'm sure you'll understand. But it's true. We focus on, don't we? And we can be completely focused on and go after which is seen. The people next to us, our family, this or that. We focus on that, and we get caught up in things that we can see. But we have to fix our eyes on the unseen. And Paul's saying, literally or physically, he's not saying that. He's saying, make sure that you focus and that your heart is angled towards the things that are more eternal, the things that we need to be thinking about and focus on. Not just the temporary things that we get obsessed about. We're told not to worry. And the fact is, there are other voices that come and they speak into your soul and they affect us. So we have the thoughts, what we think, what we say. Oh, I'm no good. I'm never going to be any good. Or what others say about us. Oh, they're a silly, stupid person. What we listen to on TV, you might want a few more of those. What we listen to, because what we listen to goes in. Thoughts that we agree with. Yep, they're all coming in to our soul realm. And a lot of them are there before we were born again. Now, taking you back, do you remember Sesame Street? Used to watch that with my kids. And Ernie and Bert, great puppets. And we used to sit and watch it together with the kids. And it's sort of like it's real, isn't it? It's like what's happening there is real. But what you don't know is that, well, you do when you grow up, is that there's a hand in the puppet or strings pulling it. And so it affects the way that Ernie and Bert and what they say and what they do. And it can be like us. That can be like us. These things come in and they're like strings or puppets that direct us in the way that we act and the way things that we say, because they do affect us. But then you might come to church and you hear a great sermon on Sunday. So some God things are going in now. You might have listened to a message through the week on YouTube, or you might have opened your Bible app and there's a great scripture. You might have put some worship music on. Yep. Someone might have prayed for you. And so we've got this bombardment of things coming into our soul. And so this area is completely bombarded. And what does it do? It often causes confusion. You know, like even when you go to read the Bible, you get sleepy and you're tired and you can't focus. But when you watch Netflix, wide awake, wide awake. Can anyone relate? And when you seem to struggle in your beliefs, you begin to question your faith, slip a few weeks at church, not come regular anymore. And you just don't even know half the time why you're feeling like this. But we must be aware that there is an unseen realm, because the enemy wants you to think it doesn't exist. And so that way you just think there's something wrong with you and you lose heart and you begin to question things. Ephesians chapter 6 is a great one to remember. It says, "For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places." You have to know we're not fighting each other. We're on the same side. We're fighting the enemy. We're fighting a spiritual battle, an unseen world, and it's full of darkness. It's like the enemy's pulling strings and puppeting things. And we need to keep this in mind, because in church, especially, the enemy wants us to be offended at somebody or offhanded with somebody. But we need to remember how to handle these things, because if we don't, the enemy's getting one of those red arrows into our mind. We are not fighting those who have hurt us, and many of us have been hurt. Everyone has been hurt. But this is why prayer is so powerful, because we can actually speak to that realm. We can bind and we can loose things when we pray, and we can speak to an amazing unseen God in an unseen realm. This is the eternal realm that we need to focus on. So when we're bombarded with stuff, the red ones, the things we're thinking, the negative thoughts, the things that have been done to us that we dwell on, and then, you know, again, we're at church and there's some good things going in, which is great. But then there's this other scripture I found in Matthew chapter 13, verses 47 and 48. I love the way that God uses everything in the Bible to teach us and give us examples. So here we go. "Again, the kingdom of heaven," so this is a parable, "it's like a dragnet that was cast into the sea and gathered some of every kind, which, when it was full, they drew to shore, they sat down, and they gathered the good into the vessels, and they threw the bad away." A dragnet, Graham, next to that, yep. Like a fishing net, a dragnet. Yep. So this is sort of what a dragnet's like. You'll take a while if you keep going, go wider. It's got to catch. This morning when we're practicing, he drew a fish. I'm like, I didn't want a fish in there. Okay, that's it. This is a net. And it's this area we can relate to as our soul, okay? So, again, we have, hold that one too, because we have, again, it catches things of every kind. So, bad thoughts, things that have been done to us, our boss has offended us, someone we work with talked about us, bad stuff gets caught in the nets, the driver cuts you off at the traffic lights, someone ignored you or offended you and hurt you, some relative you don't want to ever see again. But again, the good news is you come to church, you sang some beautiful worship songs, that helped. Yep. Someone prayed with you. So for the sake of the sermon, we're going to call that above there a soul net, okay? That's called a soul net. Thank you. And we all have a soul net, our mind, our will, and our emotion. And it catches, like the scripture said, it gathered things of every kind. Okay, so that's that area in the head. And what happens is you get to the end of the day, as the parable said, and you've dragged in things of every kind. Some good, some bad, but your soul gets cluttered and clogged up. And the problem is we don't take care of that. We just go on and we live life. In fact, we're not even sure what to do with all that. And just because we're Christians and we are saved, we are not exempt. Actually, the enemy probably wants to target us more and more. Don't fall for it. It's a trap. Your soul net gets flustered, even just listening to the news of the day and the doom and the gloom, and we lose hope. Everything needs cleaning out. You know, we've got a pool, and if we don't clean the filter out, because we have a lot of trees in the yard, and if we don't clean the filter out, it gets clogged up and it doesn't work properly. And so it needs cleaning out. And it's the same with our soul. It needs cleaning. And the Bible says in that scripture again, they sat down. That's a good thing to do. It's like, oh, okay, let's kind of sort this. Let's sit down. Let's take our thoughts captive. At the end of their day, we need to renew our minds. So they sat down. They assessed, they decided what was going to stay and what wasn't, and they discarded. They got rid of the bad things and they kept the good. As I preached a few weeks ago, I talked about undealt issues in our life, that until we sort them out, there's blockages and we can't go forward. And if we don't deal with them, they take up residence and they don't want to go. And no matter what you try and think, they're strong. It's a stronghold. So if you let things sit in your net and you don't consciously decide and discard, they take up lodgement. And then you know what? We don't see clearly anymore. We see everything through a filter. For an example, you might get offended with someone in church. It might be me. Let's put me there. And the next thing that happens is everything I say and everything I do will be wrong. And you'll think, oh, they did that to me, or they didn't look at me, or they said that in their sermon, they were talking about me. Because you're seeing it through a filter. We can't see clearly anymore. And all this was because we didn't deal with these thoughts. Your soul net drags in things of every kind. And if you're hanging around people long enough and you're dealing with real life, then you're going to drag in a bit of everything. But don't forget, it's sometimes we have a lot of stuff before we even come to the Lord. And if we don't deal with that, firstly, then it's just a mess. It's just a mess. So some of us might have some pretty heavy dragnets. As the parable said, the kingdom of heaven has to be something where we sit, so we stop. We rest for a moment, we assess, and we discard. So this is why it's important to have a daily devotion. Can we have another heading? A daily devotion over there. Daily devotion. And of course, we all know that we're supposed to read our Bibles every day and we're supposed to pray every day. But I think what has been lost on a lot of us is that we don't realise why we're doing it. Because Jesus said, and actually he told us how to pray in Matthew chapter 6. So maybe we just aren't praying the right prayers or don't know how to pray for these things. But the key to cleaning your soul is a daily devotion. And it looks like this. There's a cross. We've got to get back to the cross. And we've got to get back to prayer. And there's some praying hands going to go somewhere near the cross. This is going to be good. Praying hands. Beautiful. The cross and praying hands. So here's the thing. Daily devotion. Can we say that? Daily devotion. You see, it's great that we come to church once a week. It's great if we attend Bible study or if you go to the men's group. We have those things. That's excellent. That's great. That's extra things and extra fellowship. But what happens when the net gets so clogged and we don't have our daily devotions? We're going to require like an annual deliverance because there's so much here. There's so much going on. Well, why would you want that if you can come to the cross daily? And our prayer, God taught us how to pray and he said, "Our Father in heaven." Yep, that's there. "Hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread." Well, there's a clue that it's a daily thing that we need to be doing. Because he said to ask for daily bread, not a weekly loaf or a monthly supply or I'll see you next year. No, give us today our daily bread. And in that bread is everything that we're going to need. You know, and it's only enough for today. It's just enough for today. And it's like, Lord, give me the grace that I need for today because I'm coming back to you tomorrow. Because it's a daily devotion. And sometimes forgiveness requires a daily and the next day and the next day. People have been terribly hurt and sometimes it doesn't feel like we want to forgive, but it's a choice. And if we will continue to do that, I know that it will break over us. So there's something about a daily routine that will clean our net. But if it's not touched for months and months and months, you can maybe draw some more red dots in there. Yep. It's just going to accumulate. And what happens is we either stop coming to church and just turn away from God because it's just all too hard. Or we come and we just have a meltdown. But the good thing is we can start again every day. There's something about the simplicity of coming before the Lord. And as we go on in the Lord's Prayer, which we're all going to say in a moment together, it says, "And forgive us our debts, which are our sins, and forgive our debtors, which is those who have sinned against us. And lead us, and do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one." And sometimes it's not just the evil one, but it's the evil in us. And so, God, take out the red stuff in our souls. Deliver us, Lord. Take out that thought, that lie, that mindset, that offense, that hurt, that rejection, and deliver me from evil, God. And then it goes on to say, "For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." But then, after that, he says, "For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses or your sins. This is a beautiful prayer, but it all boils down to one verse at the end. Forgive. Forgiveness is the key. It's the key. It's where to start. It's the opening area of our soul net, forgiveness. And we have to forgive from the heart, from right here. And God will heal everything that's happened to you, I promise. But if we don't forgive, we're done. He will not forgive us. And forgiveness is linked to deliverance. Deliverance will only happen after you've forgiven. That's how it works. I've seen it. And if you don't, the issues get stuck with unforgiveness and pride. You see, we need to come before the Lord, and here's what that looks like. There's a head. This is us. We come to the cross, the central point, which we always have to come back to the cross. Okay, how's he going? Can't see. Oh, he's little. Okay, give him some hair and ears or something. Ears, yep. Hair. Got to have hair. Okay. Not, that looks like the devil. Long hair, come on. Come on. All right. So this is us coming under the cross. And in our brain... In our brain, you didn't leave much room for the brain. Give him a blue brain because I need red dots in it. See? Yep, brain. Okay, so remember our mind, our will and our emotions in our soul net. And here it is again in our brain. That's where we do all the thinking. That's where all the battles go on. So he might have some red dots in his brain. He might, because there's plenty of red dots, because a lot has happened to this fella. And then, okay, so then we put some worship music on, and all of a sudden your nets start to clear. They start to, yep. So you can get rid of the red dots because now we're putting in the God stuff. We've come before him. We're at the cross. On our knees, if we need to be. And we can come back the next day and the next. But just like that pool filter, it needs cleaning regularly. But we have a chance every day to come before him. And it's not like, oh, he's given us weekly homework, like we sometimes get at Bible study. No, he says, I'm giving you daily access. I'm giving it to you. You can come before me every day. You have the daily privilege of coming before the God that you believe in, our beautiful Father in heaven. You don't have to wait months, weeks for cleanups. Just come in and we have full access to him. So, Lord, I'm just going to pray this over us now. I choose to forgive those who have hurt me and disappointed me, and I say, let your kingdom come, let your will be done. Give us today, Lord, what we need. Give us the grace that we need from our heart and help us to forgive and to let go, because, Lord, we do not want to be carrying around all this stuff in our soul. Cleanse me, wash me, help me to keep out the wrong things, the wrong conversations, and I thank you that my eyes would see the unseen realm and that I would start to value eternity far more than I value the temporary. So God, I thank you. Would you come and do a work in us today? Amen. Amen. Thank you, Graham, for that. The unseen realm. When you see it, well done. Can you see what's happened to ourselves? Can you see that we get so much stuff coming in? I mean, we've just spent a few days in Adelaide. We went to, as you know, Pastor Peter Vacca, who passed away. He was the founding pastor, apostle of the Bethesda movement, the movement of BMI churches that we're in. And it was the most honouring and amazing service to see what this man of 81 years has done in his life and the people that he's touched. And we are here in this church because of Pastor Peter Vacca. And as we had a hall in somewhere in Adelaide, we were in a Baptist church, a beautiful big church, and there was over 500 people came to honour that man. And we just sang praises. And Graham said to me, "We need to sing that song at church." And I said, "Oh, that's just a medley of all the good old choruses and the songs that we used to sing." And it was just such an honouring thing. And we were just blessed to be there, and the eulogies and things that just honoured this man. And it just made me think of all the things he would have gone through and the things he did. And if we want to be effective for God in our lives, take stock of our soul net and go daily before God. Yes, we read the word and we pray, but be mindful of what's come in. Don't just skip over that. Honestly, go before him. And I know, because I've been there and I've done it, and every time I took something to him where I'd been hurt or whatever, and when I talked to him about it, he healed my heart. And do I forget? No. But it doesn't hurt me anymore. And I can help others because I'm free. And I know God is putting people around us that have been through what we've been through, because he's called us to help people. He's called each one of us to help people. Elizabeth had that word this morning. There's always going to be someone in front of us that we can help. But if we can be a people who would clear that stuff from our mind and come before a holy God daily, I know that he's going to do great and mighty things in us. Amen. So we're going to just finish. We've got three songs, beautiful songs. So